Cradio is proud to bring to you today the third module in a 12-module series entitled God and Modern Physics. This third module is entitled Evidence for the Standard Big Bang Model. It is presented by Father Robert J. Spitzer of the Marcher Center for Reason and Faith, and it is based on his recently released book, New Proofs for the Existence of God, Contributions of Contemporary Physics and Philosophy.
Welcome to the Majus Center of Reason and Faith series, God and Modern Physics. I'm Father Robert Spitzer, and we're talking about evidence for creation, for supernatural design, evidence for God that comes from contemporary physics, specifically contemporary astrophysics. We've been talking about the standard Big Bang model, talking about our universe, talking about the parameters, even the finite nature of our universe. And of course, we now want to get to how well corroborated the standard Big Bang model is. I'm just going to give you a brief overview, but the main thing to recognize is that this model, the standard Big Bang model, which we have been describing, is very well accepted by most physicists. Let me give you some of the evidence. We saw already that this model was discovered by a Belgian priest, Father Georges Lemaître, in 1923. He put this before Albert Einstein. He was actually studying the radial velocities of extragalactic nebulae, and he noticed that these observations could not be reconciled with Einstein's general theory of relativity under the assumption that the universe was in a steady state. So this priest basically decided, well, why not just skip that assumption that the universe is in a steady state, in other words, a holding still, a stable state, and let's assume that the universe actually began as a tiny dot, as it were, and then continued to expand like the balloon we've been describing. When he made those assumptions, actually he was able to explain these curious phenomena with the radial velocity of extragalactic nebulae, and at the end of the day, what Father Lemaître did was show his discovery to Albert Einstein. Of course, Einstein looked at it. He says he really wanted to believe in a steady state theory. So Einstein said, your mathematics is terrific, but unfortunately your physics is abominable. And of course, Lemaître kind of went away and tried to re-verify these things. But Sir Arthur Eddington and others came to Lemaître's defense, and eventually, when evidence began to mount for an expanding universe theory that came from several other sources, Einstein actually did come around and told Lemaître that it was the most satisfying theory of creation that he had ever heard. So that was the story of Father Lemaître. Since that time, many, many verifications of the standard Big Bang model. Remember, we're talking about different evidence sets coming around the same theory, the same set of numbers. So an American astronomer, Edwin Hubble, discovered that the universe in the large-scale universe was actually redshifting. And what a redshift means is that something is moving away from me, the observer. And what he noticed was that the redshift gets greater as we move back into the past, and that meant that the universe actually was slowing down for a while, slowing down because of the attractive force of gravity. But what he discovered was everything is moving away from everything else. And so that was another piece of evidence. It wasn't just now the radial velocity of extragalactic nebula. It's on a universal scale, everything is moving away from everything else, again indicating an expanding universe. But one of the predictions that Hubble and others made was that in order for the universe to get into a state of expansion, it must have began with a fiery explosion a long time ago, which, of course, Fred Hoyle, who sarcastically dubbed it the Big Bang, the name stuck. And, of course, this Big Bang, it had to be a huge explosion, which would have left residual radiation, and a very unique kind of residual radiation, a radiation that would be almost universally distributed and uniformly distributed throughout the universe. And so what this unique form of energy would indicate is then the clue to the explosion that would have occurred, now we know, 13.7 billion years ago. And of course, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson discovered this in the 60s, and of course won a Nobel Prize for so discovering. And that was, again, another huge piece of the puzzle, another evidence set verifying the Big Bang theory. Finally, of course, there now has been evidence from what's called the COBE satellite, the Cosmic Background Explorer satellite, and the MAP satellite. And now we know, without really any question left, I mean, most physicists will ascertain that the standard Big Bang model is exceedingly well verified, exceedingly well corroborated by a variety of different evidence sets that all come together around the same set of numbers. And now we get then to the point of, well, what does that say? Well, it says there had to be a Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago. And what do we do with that? Well, we have to ask ourselves the obvious question. Is the Big Bang the beginning? Well, the Big Bang could well be the beginning. There's no evidence to disprove it. But then again, it has not been proven to be the beginning. So many physicists have tried to postulate, well, some alternative theories where there could have been a period prior to the Big Bang. And this period prior to the Big Bang, well, it has to have some very unusual properties. First of all, it would probably have to have what's called Planck-like dimensions. That means that we no longer can really have space-time as described by the general theory of relativity. What we're going to need is a quantum theory of gravity, where gravity, instead of arising out of a space-time field, gravity would be like a force strongly interacting with the other three forces, the electromagnetic force, the strong nuclear force, and the weak force, in a very, very teeny 10 to the minus 33 centimeters, you know, or less dimension of the universe. So it's a very unusual kind of physics to begin with. So that's one thing. And once you have that quantum gravitational theory kind of defining your universe, all kinds of other things could happen. So you could have, for example, a bouncing universe where the universe expands and then contracts and expands and contracts. Well, if the universe expanded and contracted forever, well, maybe then the Big Bang is just the latest explosion that gives rise to an expansion. And of course, that in turn would have been preceded by maybe an infinite number of expansions and contractions. So maybe the universe really is an infinite age, an infinite number of years old. Or possibly it could have had some kind of quantum gravitational period that would have lasted forever. Or perhaps there was higher dimensional bouncing. Or maybe we're in a multiverse. And a multiverse is where our universe is one little bubble universe or pocket universe that, of course, is situated among all kinds of other bubble universes in this gigantic multiverse where all of the space is expanding between universes, and we're just a little bubble universe in the midst of many trillions of universes that may have been eternally inflating. Or perhaps the bouncing was in higher dimensional space, what some string theorists call brains. Well, the interesting thing is that even with the postulation of every single one of these pre-Big Bang theories, every one of them has to have a beginning. And what we're going to be looking at in the next several episodes, the next several modules, is we're going to be looking at, well, what is the evidence for the beginning of all of these pre-Big Bang scenarios, all of these very hypothetical, very speculative pre-Big Bang scenarios. And we're going to see that the evidence types combine into three. We're going to look at evidence for a beginning from the law of entropy, evidence for a beginning from space-time geometry, and evidence for design from anthropic coincidences. More on all of this in our next episodes.
You've been listening to Father Robert J. Spitzer from the Marger Center for Reason and Faith on the subject of God and modern physics. For more informative and inspiring programs, visit cradio.org.au.